Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Jeff, that was incredible how you honored your family, you honored your mom. Your family was shining last week and this week. Lois, I love that your family was here and snuck in on you. They were little sneakers, weren't they? and Jane, she was lied to by her family. Jane was told, you got to come because the children are going to do a special. And so she told me, she's sitting there and she's thinking, well, Brock better hurry up if the kids are going to get out here and do a special. Not realizing that the special was for her. Last week was just such a joy to celebrate the servant. Kathy, I love what you shared about us loving on Chloe Martin and during her family's time. And Mark and Priscilla are here. Kyle and Stephanie are walking through it again now with the trial and things that they're going through. Fairmount Friends is friends of Kyle and Stephanie, and we love them, and man, we're in their corner, and be praying as they just got to relive all of that, you know, just got to relive a tough day over and over and over. But I love that you guys are here, Kathy, and just the timing of you sharing all of that was really, really special. I like this place. Right? I mean, it's a good place. It's not perfect, but man, it's ours, right? It's our house. So this morning, as we talk about Valentine's Day, as we're moving into it, you know, it's amazing to me how you have to study in order to get a driver's license. You've got to go to school for years and years in order to get a degree. But you don't have to have anything but just a bunch of stupidity to get married. You don't have to have a degree. You don't even have to prove that you know anything to be sexually intimate, and you can reproduce and make a human and be a complete idiot. Isn't it amazing how that stuff works? Like, what is required to be able to do certain things in life is amazing. You could have certificates and degrees and all sorts of kind of stuff, but like to actually make more humans, you don't have to prove that you know a thing about what you are doing. And many times you're like, I didn't even know like what I was doing. Oops, sort of realities of life. And sometimes we are taught, but we're taught from some bad teachers. Perhaps you got taught from like Billy on the school bus. And he taught you some bad stuff. And I don't mean Bill out here, because Bill might teach you, he might teach you some interesting things as well. But you might have learned some things. Judah started coming back, telling me things that he learned on the school bus. And I'm like, how do you know that? Like, you're not allowed to talk to that kid ever again. Like, move seats. You shouldn't know those certain words. It seems like this conversation around attraction and desire and passion and intimacy and sexual expression is a message that belongs to God in the Word of God. But the church, we blush around these conversations and we have turned them over to the world for movies and mass media and marketing to take the message, and they're off and running. And then we're taught that, well, you do all of this stuff outside of the context of marriage because that's where it's really sexy and passionate and thrilling and full of adventure and mystery. But then whenever you get married in the monogamous of just the boring and mundane, just one man and one woman, like that's boring. And yet God made it so thrilling and full of romance and passion. Like he wrote stuff that would make Nicholas Sparks blush. Like, he is the king of the romance writer. And we see people from the jump, what Adam said about Eve, and we see the ultimate romantic in Solomon, a man who had 700 wives and 300 concubines. They were like sliding into his DMs like crazy back in the day. They were all about this lover, this Don Juan, this sort of just unbelievable romantic. And it's right here in Scripture. And so instead of us stumbling and bumbling our way on the school bus or through movies, I really believe we ought to go back to the person who originally authored romance in the beginning. I think that the church, we should not be silent about intimacy and sexual desire and attraction, but that we ought to be leading the conversation. It's a conversation that belongs to God. It doesn't belong to Hollywood, because Hollywood is stealing from our story and twisting it and filling it full of perversion rather than pure passion. And I would rather have pure passion than broken perversion. So we want to redeem this conversation. Guys, I want to remind you that Valentine's Day is in about 37 hours, okay? Guys, you might want to be aware. Valentine's Day, it does come the same time every year. Guys, don't be surprised by this. I'm not saying that you've got to always max out every American holiday that they're trying to manipulate and to get your money. I'm not saying that, but at least put a little bit of thought to it. Anytime there's a platform to like celebrate your girl and to be a little bit romantic, seize that platform, because she probably would enjoy that. She has a birthday, and it's usually the same time every year. Don't be surprised. You're like, what? Oh, it's coming up. Or, oops, it already passed. That was yesterday. Christmas is always toward the end of December. Don't be surprised by that. You have an anniversary, right? So let's remember these sort of things and make sure that we're seizing the moment on this. Whether you are single, married, single again, engaged, dating, whatever your relationship is, I believe that we can do this thing with purity and with passion as we bring glory to God in our desires. I really believe that we can say, God, you have built me in a way. There's some pretty cool biology going on inside of me. Man, is this biology cool? Now, I'm called to reign and rule over myself and have self-control. But man, this is pretty cool what you put inside of me. And I want to make sure that my desires are in a God-honoring way. Whether I am in marriage, I am single, whatever, I want my passions to be in a way that would honor the Lord. Whenever I was kind of coming through youth ministry, it felt like you had the option. Like you could either be like sensual or sacred. Like you could either be like hot or holy. You couldn't like be like, it could be hot and holy and sacred and sexy and sensual. Like, but when we go to the Scripture, it has all of it. And it's pretty incredible. Does anybody want to crack open your Bibles with me? No? Okay. Just me. This is a conversation that belongs, I believe, in Christian homes, not to be taught by a teacher that's got a different point of view, or you don't learn this till you go off to higher education in college, or you're just stumbling. Our children can be stumbling alone by themselves on TikTok in their bedrooms, discovering who knows what, in such a twisted way that we never hear, what does God think about this? Why didn't my church ever talk about these sort of things? For this conversation, we have this conversation often in our home. I have a son that's about to turn 13. In about 30 days, I'm going to have my first teenager. And for my son, for his 13th, I really want to do something. I've been talking to a few of the men in our men's group. But to steal away and to make this strong, solid, amazing father-son connection on his 13th birthday. We want to get into the wild. I want it to be a little bit hard. I want it to be full of adventure. Maybe it's hiking, maybe the Smokies or the Appalachian Trail, and it's rafting down, maybe some white water. Rafting, going down, and every night we're sitting around the fire and we're talking about girls. And we're talking about, like, what in the world is going on in my body right now? Oh, this is wild. And bro, you smell bad. You need deodorant. Let's pick up our grooming game a little bit. And really just start like, man, I want to introduce in such a masculine man. You're being invited into something pretty cool. And we want to honor God with this thing. And it's not here to experiment with other 12 and 13-year-old girls. Man, we are holy. We're consecrated. We're locked in on Jesus. And then he's going to open up the floodgates of beauty and wonder and passion and desire when it is time. Song of Solomon says, do not awaken love until it desires. And so, son, when that moment comes, whoo, boy, are we going to be ready. And I want to teach and train him some chivalry and how to protect a girl's heart and not try to manipulate it so he can get something from it. But he's going to know how to serve a woman, to be confident, to talk to girls and not bashful and like jokey and I don't know what I'm doing, but strong and be able to lead them. And come on, we're trying to raise up a leader at 13 years old and how to protect and how to open doors and how to appreciate beauty without having to lust after it. Y'all know what I'm talking about, like to really see beauty, to honor beauty, to I'm not blind to it, I definitely see it, but I appreciate it without having to lust for it. Like, man, I want to have all these conversations with my boy. And I don't know if you guys have these conversations in your home with your kids or with your grandkids, but man, we need to. And don't just leave it up to chance. Don't leave it up to Nicholas Sparks to train and disciple the mindset of our children. We can't leave this one to chance. I'm not going to leave this one to chance. I am going to lead the conversation in my home. And so what we see in Scripture is that sexual relationships are not just designed only for procreation. They are also designed for recreation. There is a design for them to be something not only to reproduce more humans, but to be something that we enjoy in our life. In Song of Solomon chapter 1, he jumps into his Scripture just like this. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For your love is better than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. No wonder the young women love you. Take me away with you. Let us hurry. Let the king bring me into his chambers. Does anybody write like this today? Now, there's a romantic in the house that I really appreciate. It's Richard Hensley. Now, this guy's a romantic. He just celebrated 60 years of wedded bliss. I mean, come on, we're not messing around. Dick, he and I, we have the same wedding anniversary, December 29th. I just celebrated 16. He celebrated 60, okay? So he's like way down the road here of romance. And this is a guy that he gets up early and he gets his wife her coffee going. He gets her slippers. Like, he preps stuff. He's the spiritual leader of his home where he prays with her. They have their daily bread that they'll read together. Like, he's intentional to woo his wife. He has dated her long after they say, I do. Like, there's some romance in this man. Richard, do you ever write like this? Like, kiss me with the kisses of your lips. And yeah, okay. Your love is better than wine. And come on, let's hurry. Take me to your bedchambers. Like, let's go. Come on. Like, guys, this is the Bible. And this is her. This is the woman, right? It's the woman that's leading this. If you ever think that the Bible's like suppressive to women and you don't ever have a voice and you're kind of like an afterthought, Solomon leads his scripture with the woman is fired up. Like, let's go. Let's hurry. Let's get to your chambers. I can't wait to taste your wine. Woo! That's the holy book right there. There's some energy and some passion that this woman has. She says, it's no wonder all of the young women love you. Solomon had a reputation. And she's like, dang, I get it. When I'm around you, there is something else about this man. There was some some chivalry. Maybe there was some stature. Maybe there was a way that he would treat. Who knows what all of these things that he would bring together in the way that he would lead a woman. But she is caught up and she's like, we got to go now. Interesting scripture, is it not? You flip over a couple more pages. Song of Solomon chapter 4. It says this, how beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Exclamation point. Your eyes behind your veil are doves. Your hair is like a flock of goats descending from the hills of Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of sheep just shorn. Jane Ann, you okay? Woo! Jane, it's getting hot. We now need to turn the AC on. She is just giggly over there. Coming up from the washing, each has its twin. Not one of them is alone. Your lips are like the scarlet ribbon. Your mouth is lovely. Check this out. So he starts with her hair, and he's moving down every inch of her body. Starts with the hair, goes down to her eyes, he's going down to her lips, he's moving his way. He's going to talk about it all, y'all. Your temples behind your veil are like the halves of the pomegranate. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built with courses of stone. On it hang 1,000 shields, all of them shields of warriors. Your breasts are like 2 fawns, like twin fawns of a gazelle that browse among the lilies. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee, I will go to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of incense. You are altogether beautiful, my darling. There is no flaw in you. Well, I feel my heart pounding a little bit up here. I need to maybe get my blood pressure checked after this. There's romance here. And I don't know about you, but even just talking to Dustin, our life group, we talked about this last night. Dustin says when he talks about Melissa, she loves to be compared to farm animals, just like this scripture. Like, that's romance. Like, you are like a flock of goats. Oh, my gosh. You look like a bunch of sheep that just came up from the washing. Your neck is like a really long tower. Wow, you know, it's like, man, and Mel just like, phew, it melts her. Like, she just absolutely loves being compared to animals out grazing in the field. So I tried my hand at this. So I wrote some of my Song of Brock-isms. I got like some Brock-bonics going on here, Jerry. You ready for this? So I wrote my own, and because usually what I tell Alyssa is like, you're hot. But I figured that maybe I needed to compare her to like the surroundings of our town. And so this is what I came up with. She's down watching the kids this morning, so she's not in here. I got total freedom to say these things. So this is what I came up with. Your hair is like that of our golden retriever, Wrigley. Slowly turning white and shedding in our bathtub. Your teeth are like that of marshmallows that we roast over the fire in our backyard. Marshmallows before they turned yellow and brown in the fire. And definitely before Nora roasts hers and burns them and turns them completely black. Your legs are like the towers of Fairmount. They are like one antique store after another. Oh, man, that's not good. Her legs are just old, right? Yeah. How about this one? Okay. I drink wine from your belly button before the hernia and not after you pushed out 3 babies. Oh, Your breasts are like gazelles, seemingly too fast for me to ever get my hands on them. It's just true. It's just true. Oh my gosh. Your eyes are like the birds of Rigdon, crow's feet sticking out the sides. Your bladder is like the gates of Hebron, loose and wide open. Your feet are like the lands of central Indiana, full of corns. I thought that was creative. I like that one. Hurry to my chambers. Run, but run gently so as to not tinkle while you trot. I mean, come on. That's some romance right there, right? I mean, so guys, I already wrote my thanks or my Valentine's Day card, and you guys need to get on point here and get your Valentine's Day. Get on my level, guys, all right? So start comparing your wife to the land around and see if that won't just woo her heart. But sometimes we read the Bible and we think, man, that Bible is just so boring. I'm saying, no, you're boring. This thing is full of some passion. This thing's full of some romance and some excitement here. And so we need to step up our game as we're like reading through these scriptures. Check out this one. Flip a couple more pages. Song of Solomon, chapter 7. How beautiful are your feet and sandals, O noble daughter. Okay, so in chapter 4, he looked her down. And now he's going to go right back up. So now he's starting with her feet, and he's going to start working his way now back up her body. Oh, noble daughter, your rounded thighs are like jewels, the work of a master's hand. Your navel is like a rounded bowl that never lacks mixed wine. Your belly is a heap of wheat. Now, I don't know about that one. He's like, hey, baby girl, you got that wheat belly going on. And it's encircled with lilies. Your two breasts are like two fawns. He likes that comparison. Twins of a gazelle. Your neck is like an ivory tower. Your eyes are like the pools of Heshbon by the gate of Bath Rabin. Your nose is like a tower of Lebanon, which looks down toward Damascus. Your head crowns you like Carmel, and your flowing locks are like purple. A king is held captive in the tresses. How beautiful and pleasant you are, O loved one, with all of your delights. And your stature is like a palm tree. Your breasts are like its clusters. I say, I will climb that palm tree, baby. I will lay a hold of its fruit. May your breasts be like clusters of the vine, and the scent of your breath like apples, and your mouth like the best of wine. Whew! Man, I feel like we need to say, in Jesus' name, amen. We need to dismiss quickly. The world has taken our message that is so pure and so passion-filled, and it's twisted it and manipulated it, and it's made it so scandalous. And I want to tell you, man, pure passion and draw and intimacy, and man, I see her across the room, and my eyes, I am communicating all kinds of passion with my eyes and with my words, and right, like he is looking this girl up and down, not just any girl, but his girl. There's exclusivity, which makes it even more just the passion field. I think that we need to make exclusivity and monogamy so hot again. Like, it is this one woman that does it for me. Like, the exclusiveness is, oh, it's just awesome. Ain't nobody's gonna move the needle in my heart like you do, girl. And to communicate stuff like this. Sometimes, perhaps, there's these times when we say, man, I wish I could be like that in my relationship, or I wish I could be like that with my husband or my spouse, or man, I'm wanting to save myself into, as I move into marriage, that this will be something that I honor God in the sanctity of covenantal union, that I am waiting to explore all of these things. And that's the challenge from the Word of God. Scholars believe that this is Solomon looking back on his romance and his courtship with his wife. But perhaps you're thinking, man, that's just not us. And I want it to be, but it's just not. And what do I do if it's kind of broken in here that I want it to get there? You know, if you were to go and buy a weed eater at Lowe's, and you buy that weed eater and something happens and it breaks, they will tell you in the box, on the very like instructions and on the warranty, do not bring this back to Lowe's. We cannot help you. You need to take it to the manufacturer. You need to take it to the one that built it. You need to take it to the one that designed it, and it knows its every little move. It knows the inner workings. It knows how it was designed and how it ought to operate. We need to take our lives sometimes back to the manufacturer who designed it and who put our hearts and who wove it together beautifully, fearfully, marvelously made, and say, God, my heart it's not this. But perhaps there's some things that have got my heart a little wonky around sexual desire and intimacy, and it's where I just can't really even go there. And I'll tell you, for some of them, here's what it could be is, I think that there's probably three things. Is number one, I think that maybe my heart is just off a little bit. Something goes on inside of my heart. In the Bible, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, guard your heart with all diligence, because from it flow all the issues of life. Even these desire and passion and intimate issues, when the heart is off and the heart is, I'm just frustrated with you and I'm so hurt and I just can't even go there. Sometimes we don't want to go into these places, and we need to take it back to the manufacturer and say, God, would you bring some healing here? Perhaps one area, I think number two, is what can keep us from really diving into some great intimacy and some passion, is perhaps we just had a bad example. And you're looking at your parents and you're saying, I don't want it to be like that. Or maybe you didn't really see a lot of passion. Maybe your parents still stayed married and it was okay, but you just didn't see them dancing in the kitchen. You didn't see him holding hands and kissing and intentional with holding hands in the car, or that he would open the door and lead her in with a hand on the small of her back. Just the intentional touches. You just never saw it. Or maybe it was brokenness. Maybe it was abuse. Perhaps it was divorce. Who knows what that example was, but you didn't have an example of Scripture where desire and passion was awesome and it was all for the glory of God and how you honored one another in your bodies. Perhaps there's some past pain. Number three could be, I've been really been hurt around this issue. I've been touched, I've been molested, I've been abused around all of this. The body is not awesome. I want to cover that body. I want to keep it away from everyone. No one else has access to this, not even my spouse. And so what we want to do is we want to be as healthy and as free as possible. And so bringing it all back to the manufacturer, saying, God, can you heal me? Can I get a really good example from you? Would you set free my heart? Perhaps it's meeting with a pastor or a counselor or a life group leader that's unpackaging some of these things. Perhaps it's diving into some marriage counseling and say, man, I really want to kind of get these things back on course. But the healthiest move is always what we see in Scripture from God's Word, and saying, God, I want to get it on your level. So heal me. Give me some really good examples. And I would encourage some younger families to have a couple older couples in your life. That they've been married for multiple decades. And they're doing it. Maybe not perfectly, but effectively. They are doing romance well. Say, man, I just need a better example. And then also just trying to speak some better words to each other. Instead of what I would just do, which is just saying, hey, you're hot, is getting real specific. Here's the beauty that I like about you. I love how you lead our family. I love how you lead us into the presence through worship. Hey, I love, honestly, I do like the crow's feet on her eyes because I like growing old with her. I like that she's got a few white hairs. I'm aging with her. I've got 4 white hairs in my beard and I'm pumped. Like, man, I just want like a really rich white beard. I want to grow old with you, and like saying these things that would maybe just really awaken the heart a little bit more and connecting intimately at a soul level. Man, I would challenge you to be the leader on this and help lead her into health, lead her into freedom, lead her into forgiving. Maybe we need to forgive an abuser. I don't know what all of the different situations going on in here, but I do know that God loves his bride, he loves his church, and he wants us to experience maximum intimacy, not only with him, but in a relationship of covenant with one another. I meet with a handful of guys from Taylor, many of who are here this morning. We talked about, and multiple of these guys have some girlfriends that they're even sitting with them here. And how do we move in courting and leading this girl's heart without having to get tripped up in all of the physical entanglements? Did anybody, your heart was like really moved by someone of the opposite sex and you were trying to like not keep like your bodies like crazy? Like, nope, no one. You're like, yeah, let's explore it all, man. And we got some men of integrity that they're saying, man, I want to understand desire and passion and attraction and all of the sexual things that God really did put inside of me, and I want to have self-control in the way that I lead her. Cheers to the men that are doing it and doing it like that. I just want to validate you guys that are doing those sort of things. And so here's my prayer, is that we as a church, that we would be healthy in our relationships, that we'd have intentional conversations with our kids and grandkids, that it'd be a new day, and that we would bring sexy back, not just like JT, but we would bring it back in a biblical way. We'd bring it back like Song of Solomon, that we would bring it back in a way that really does honor God in all ways. I'm going to pray here this morning, and not only pray that we would move in some really awesome ways, but that I would pray that our past would be healed to bring us into those areas there. Would you all just join with me, church, as we close here in prayer this morning? Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, that sex is your idea, that you created the body, that you created it to be beautiful. God, I think that you have created us to be drawn in and attracted to one another. God, I pray that we would have beautiful, God-honoring intimacy. God, I pray that our men would lead with chivalry. God, I pray that our men would lead in strong ways, that they would move the needle of the heart inside of their spouse. God, I pray that you would keep our singles strong. God, I pray that that their hearts would be protected, because there's where all of the issues of life flow from the heart. God, we pray in all things that we would honor you, and especially as it comes to the way that we love one another. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.